I do like science. I like numbers. I like to see cause and effect. I like tangible evidence. That being said, I do have a fascination with the paranormal, but I'm a skeptic.
And the only way that you could sleep was, I dragged my bed to the middle of the room and there was a fan that would spin, and about every hour it would shut off.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Soup Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Laura Wexler.
And I'm Jessica Hankin.
And this week on the podcast, our theme is haunted houses. Two stories about sharing a space with unwanted residents.
If we're in COVID, a lot of people can heavily relate to this, right? Stuck in your house with ghosts. But yeah, before we get started, we want to thank Park School of Baltimore, which is a pre-K through grade 12, non-sectarian, awesome school located just outside of Baltimore.
Yeah, so there was just an article in the New York Times last week about people reporting many more incidences of ghost sightings and ghost experiences now that everybody is like spending so much more time at home. So the question is, are there more ghosts taking up residence in houses because they themselves are quarantining as well?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a great question.
How do we pursue that question?
Well, I think this, we have to follow the data, right? We have to use science and follow the data.
Definitely.
But I think there's also just the common sense that ghosts are already dead. They're not going to be impacted by COVID, therefore. Maybe that's what
Do you think they can still be carriers?
Yes, that's a great point.
All right, well, we could go down this rabbit hole real far because we don't have anything else to do. But people have tuned in to hear stories. And this first story is a true haunted house story told by Sean McDonald. He's a nurse, and he shared this story at a live Soup show last year. Take a listen.
So I do like science. I like numbers. I like to see cause and effect. I like tangible evidence. That being said, I do have a fascination with the paranormal, but I'm a skeptic. I've always searched for the science behind it. I've been on ghost hunts before. I've walked around cemeteries at 2 a.m. with recording devices to no avail. I get this fascination from my pops. He believes in ghosts. He believes in vampires, which is like batshit crazy to me, but to each their own. But it's something that we can bond over. We're from the Boston area. We've been down here for a couple of years now. Thank you. Yay. Go Sox. Well, then. And so we've been in this house for a couple of years now. As said, it's in the Hamilton area. It's an older house, single family, built in the 20s. And one night I fell asleep on the couch. And I was woken up by this very abrupt laughter. It was a very loud ha ha ha, like right in my face. I could feel it bouncing off of me. I woke up super confused. It's like 2:30 in the morning. I didn't mean to fall asleep on the couch. It just happened. And right away, I'm trying to think of like what that was. I had the TV on, but it was like the Golden Girls, which isn't really evil. I had the window open, so like maybe some punk-ass kid wanted to like play a prank, but I would have heard him running away. I couldn't figure out what I heard. My dog was sleeping by my feet, and at first I thought I like nudged him, but he was shaking, and he really only shakes when there's loud noise, fireworks, thunderstorms. He's kind of a baby. So I'm convinced he heard it, but I'm still like, what did we hear? As I'm trying to digest all of this, I hear my pops awake in the kitchen. So I mosey on over, really just to like calm myself down. And I'm trying to play it all cool. I'm like, hey, couldn't sleep. He's like, no, I heard you laughing. I was like, shut up. And I told him like, it wasn't me. He asked like, we compared stories. He heard it, but a lot quieter. Now, his bedroom is next to the living room. For how loud it was, and definitely feeling it on my face, he would have heard something a lot louder like I did. So him being like a ghost connoisseur, he's like, it was Lila. Now, Lila was the previous owner who's been dead for about a decade. And I'm just like, sure. It's 2:30 in the morning. He's convinced Lila does haunt the house. I'm convinced no. And he continues. He's like, if it happens again, just say, Lila, you're scaring me. I mean you no harm. Please leave me alone. I'm just like, that's some new age bullshit. So, you know, we say goodnight again at like 3 a.m., but I go back to the couch because I didn't want to go upstairs and be by myself. I'm almost 30 when this happened. So I'm trying to like just chill out, calm down, and I feel like I'm being watched. I didn't see anything, but just like, you know, that like that irking, like someone's watching you. It's coming from the stairwell. So I'm like, what the hell? You're scaring me. Please leave me alone. I mean you no harm. Literally to the wall. And like the damnedest thing is I fell asleep within like 20 minutes. And I honestly didn't think I was going to fall back asleep that night. So time goes on. Nothing notable happens. About a year and a half later, there is unfortunately a murder behind the alley in my house. Same block and everything. And the energy in the house for like next week felt really, really weird. Couldn't explain it, just like this anxiety-inducing feeling. So I can't talk to my pops about it. So I go to some experts. They're my aunties. They live across the street. They're not by relation. They're this lesbian couple in their 70s. I love them. But they're also Wiccans, so they know a thing or two, supposedly. So I tell them what's going on in the house, and they inform me after like something like a violent attack or something in the area, it can also upset spirits that are present around the surrounding area. And I'm taking it with a grain of salt. And they further ask me if anything else has happened. And I started telling them about the laughing. And without even like skipping a beat, my Aunt Kaylin's like, was it like a like very breathy. I was like, yes. And I don't know what to think right now. I'm like shitting bricks. Because like, I don't believe, but like how the hell did she know what the laughter sounded like? So they knew Lila. And in her end of life, they helped her out a lot. She wasn't all there in the head towards the end of life. She'd often be found screaming in her house on the porch, obscenities, jibber jabber, but doing this like breathy ha 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 in between her tirades. And they're telling me this, and I'm just like, cool story. They inform me like if I want to do something about the energy in the house, I could smudge the house. So smudging is when you take dry sage, burn it, it like wards off like evil spirits, bad energies, and whatnot, supposedly. So I thank them for the coffee, and I just leave, because, yeah, it was a crazy conversation, and I just put it in the back of my head. But a week later, things still haven't settled down, so I find myself in a metaphysical store buying a smudge stick. And so I just smudged my room. I was polite. I was told to, like, say a little prayer. And so I just went around my room. I was like, this is my space now. I respect that you used to live here. It's mine. You can have the rest of the house. I mean you no harm. I only smudged my room. And a lot of it, I was having a lot of conflicting feelings. I was embarrassed that I was doing this. It was a hard pill for me to swallow. But, like, it couldn't hurt. So I did it, and I really didn't want my pops finding out that I did it either. I didn't need to go down that alley. So once again, things calmed down. And so the smudging could have worked, or it could be the placebo effect, which I totally believe in, mind over matter. Like, I don't know. So, you know, nothing remarkable for a while until I was rehearsing this story for you lovely people. And it was pretty late at night. And right as I started talking about Lila, something small fell off my shelf. It was just like a chapstick. That could have happened. No big deal. Could have, you know. A few moments later, a remote controller falls off the shelf. And I'm like, all right, cat's on the bed, dog's on the bed. I'm not near the shelf. there is no reason why that fell over. And I was searching. I really wanted to find like a scientific reason. And I'm talking about Lila. She's on my mind. I'm like, I got this. I've dealt with a ghost before. I'm like, Lila, I'm sorry I'm talking about you. I mean you no harm. Please leave me alone. To nothing in the room. It's just out there. Nothing else happened that night or since then, but I've also stopped talking about her, and especially at nighttime. Even, you know, it's hard being up here saying like this because I'm still like very skeptical. The smudging story, the first people to hear it were my rehearsal mates because I did not want to admit that I did it because these are technically like scientific experiments that I'm doing to see if there's a ghost. But still keeping in mind the placebo effect. But at the end of the day, this scientific skeptic is very reluctantly starting to believe in ghosts, and it just took a ghost laughing in my face for me to start believing. Thank you.
I love that story. I love Sean. He's a Facebook friend, so I'm following him as he's a nurse during the pandemic, and he's doing God's work. It's amazing. I also just love that he had aunties that he turned to for advice and counsel.
Could you actually, I feel like because he's someone who has had experience with ghosts and he is a nurse, he is actually the perfect person to give us the answer to our question, can ghosts transmit COVID?
That's a great, I'm going to ask him. I'm going to take time out of his day after he's had a long shift, and I'm going to ask him this incredibly important question.
It's really important. All right, before we get to our next ghost story, we want to thank two of our terrific Stoop podcast sponsors, Baltimore Magazine. You can find them at baltimoremagazine.com or on the newsstand. They've got all the news you need, and once we get going out to restaurants again, you can read up to remind yourself what a restaurant is. And our other sponsor, Golden West, is actually a restaurant. You can pick up food from them now. They're on the avenue in Hamden, vegan, Tex-Mex, really delicious food, great events at their bar, drag night, bingo night, great music, all of that. We are so looking forward to getting back there once things open up.
So this next storyteller is from the same show, right? That Sean shared his story, Twilight Zone. We were at the Senator, and we don't know much about her because she was an audience storyteller. She threw her name in and just spontaneously shared this tale. Her name is Meeba Jones, and it's about being in a monastery in India. Take a listen.
So I studied abroad in India. And most people decide to spend their semester abroad in like some place like London or Australia where you can drink a lot, you know, underage. But I decided with some 30 brave souls to go live in a monastery in a rural village and study Buddhism and take a vow of celibacy and not to drink and not to eat any meat and to do the five initial precepts and meditate for like 5 hours a day. So it was a little odd, but it was pretty cool and a lot of fun. So I'm living in this monastery in India, and when we arrived, it was August, so it was like 100 million degrees. It hadn't rained yet, the rainy season hadn't started, so it was very, very hot. And the only way that you could sleep was, I dragged my bed to the middle of the room, and there was a fan that would spin, and about every hour, it would shut off, and, because the power would go out every once in a while. And I'd wake up and stare at the fan, just like praying for it to turn back on, and it would turn back on, and I could fall back asleep. You had to sleep under mosquito netting, right, because of malaria, so it was this like slight breeze that could help you sleep. So one day, I wake up in the middle of the night, the fan is shut off, and I see out of the corner of my eye this vision of a monk, a Buddhist monk, right? And he's in his robes, and he's bald, and he's got this scripture, this prayer book, and he's chanting over my bed. I can't do it. I don't know exactly what he was saying, but he's chanting a prayer. And I freak out, and I freeze. I close my eyes, And eventually the chanting stops and I feel this sort of presence go away. So even though I'm living in this monastery and who knows, you know, what kind of mysterious things happen there, I'm terrified. I don't tell anyone. But for weeks, I can't sleep without my headphones blaring in my ears because I'm so afraid that this monk is going to come back and keep chanting over my bed. So one day, there's some alums of this program visiting, and I overhear one of them talking to our TA and one of our teachers, and they say, "So, you know, has anyone seen a ghost yet?" And I sort of, my ears perk up, and I said, "What? What are you talking about?" And they said, "Oh, yeah. Like, when I was here, you know, lots of people used to see ghosts. This place is totally haunted." And I said, "I saw a ghost in my room. I've been super terrified. I haven't told anyone, and I can't go to sleep without my headphones in my ears." And my TA looks at me and says, "Well, why didn't you tell me?" I said, "Okay, sorry. Thought I was crazy." She says, "Well, you should just call the nuns." Obviously. So the nuns were some of our teachers, Buddhist nuns, right? And they lived in the monastery with us. So she said, "Go talk to the nuns." I go talk to the nuns. I say, "Okay, so I was told to speak to you. There was a ghost. I saw it in my room." I said, "Well, what was this ghost? Tell us about it." "Well, it was a monk, and it was chanting over me." I said, "What's the problem?" I said, "Well, it's a ghost." And they said, "Yeah, but it's a monk, so obviously it has good intentions. You know, it's praying for you. It means that, you know, this isn't a big deal." I said, "But, you know, I'm a little, like, freaked out, and I can't sleep, and would you mind getting out of my room anyway?" And they said, "Okay, sure." So they come to my room, and they pass my TA, and she starts singing the Ghostbusters theme song, and I'm like, "Shut up, I just want to get the ghost out of my room." And so they come in, they say, "Let's show me your room." And I show them, and they said, "What's this? Your bed is moved." And I said, "Yeah, it's under the fan. I don't know how you sleep otherwise." And they said, "No, oh, absolutely not. You've got to move your bed back." They said, "You know, every single monastery is positioned around the temple, right? This is Bodh Gaya, India, the Mahabodhi temple where the Buddha attained enlightenment. You have to place your head towards the temple. You flipped it around and put your feet towards the temple. That's bad luck. The monk was just trying to help you out." My bad. So I said, "Great, no problem. I'll put it back. I promise. Won't happen again." They said, "Sure, okay, good. That's good. We'll still do some chanting. We'll get the ghost out of your room." So I watched as they did this little ritual and said some prayers, and never heard the ghost again. Thank you.
And I actually love the logic in both Sean's story and Miba's story. Like, oh, yes, of course you're being haunted by this ghost because, fill in the blank, you know, because you're in its house, because your bed is in the wrong spot. It's just so logical in its bizarre logic.
Yeah, data-driven. Though it's data-driven.
Yeah, data-driven, absolutely, absolutely. Another thing that is data-driven is the wine source. And what I mean by that is that the data shows that the wine source is awesome. They are on Elm Avenue in Hamden. They are the purveyors of all sorts of tasty tidbits, as well as wine and beer. They have curbside service right now. They're really good people. And so we would love it if you support them and tell them that the soup sent you.
Absolutely.
We want to thank Maureen Harvey, our intrepid producer, and we want to encourage you to keep listening and tell your friends about the Soup Storytelling Series podcast that we're still going on, and we will see you back here next week.
For our mayoral show.
That's right. Mayoral, okay. Not mayoral.
Mayoral.
Baltimore mayoral show. See y'all next week. Bye.